In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." As we continue our series looking at the word new in the Bible, today we're looking at the new birth. In John chapter 3, which Kay read earlier, we have one of the most significant conversations in the Bible. It's a conversation between a man who was a Pharisee, Nicodemus. He was in the ruling council. He was an important man. He was a man very knowledgeable in the scriptures. And he comes to Jesus at nighttime to ask him some questions. He wants to know, as they have this conversation, and Jesus talks about being born again or born from above, what does this mean? As Nicodemus asked, "Surely you cannot enter a second time into your mother's womb. What is this new birth?" I want us to see how highly significant it is that this question and this conversation occurred between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus, as Jesus says in verse 10, was a very religious man. He was a teacher of Israel. And yet the clear implication is from Jesus that what Nicodemus did and what he had was not enough. It wasn't enough that he was a religious man. It wasn't enough that he was a decent man. It wasn't enough that he was a man knowledgeable in the Old Testament scriptures. It wasn't enough that he occupied an important position in the Jewish council. Good as these things were, Nicodemus needed something more. He needed the new birth. He may have been close to the kingdom of God, being involved in all these different religious things, but he would not see the kingdom of God unless he was born anew, born again, born from above. And for all of us watching today, I don't care what position you hold, what religious affiliation you may have, how much of the Bible that you know, or how many times you've been to church. If Nicodemus, of all people, needed to experience the new birth, how much more do I and you need to experience this new birth? Nicodemus was intrigued and fascinated. And in fact, we will see the Holy Spirit was already working upon Nicodemus. He didn't even realize it himself. He came to Jesus under cover of darkness in John chapter 3. He wasn't bold enough to come during the day and ask his question out in the open. So he came secretly at night. He didn't want others to see him associating with this guy, Jesus, this new radical, this person who claimed to be the Messiah. But he was attracted. He was intrigued by him. Maybe you're watching this online and you've maybe never been in a church building, or maybe it's been years since you've been at church. There is a certain anonymity online. Maybe you've been drawn not so much to church, but to this character, Jesus. And you're watching today because you're wanting to explore more. Can I encourage you to keep watching, to keep listening, to keep reading and studying? Jesus is worth getting to know. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Son of God. Nicodemus was one who was being drawn closer and closer to Jesus. The good news is that whenever we get to the end of John's Gospel in John chapter 19 and verse 39, we encounter Nicodemus again. And we find that he's there with Joseph of Arimathea. And he's taking the body of Jesus, the dead body of Jesus that has been crucified, and getting it ready for burial. So Nicodemus has moved from a position of intrigue and in the darkness to moving into the light, to being associated with Jesus. And boy, is he going to get a surprise, because in a couple of days, this dead body that he was burying would rise again. Jesus would live again and be resurrected. As Peter wrote in this verse we read earlier, Nicodemus would experience this great mercy. In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This would become Nicodemus's experience. The Holy Spirit would be bringing him alive. He would be born again. So what is this new birth? Can I leave with you today three characteristics of what new birth means? First of all, the new birth is something that happens to us. In a sense, we are passive. This is something that happens to us by the Holy Spirit. In using this analogy of birth, Jesus is saying it is something that happens outside of us. It is something that happens to us. Just as in our natural physical birth, we did not cause that to happen. We played no part in that. So the Holy Spirit coming upon us and bringing us to new birth is something that God does. It is the gift of God, not something that we do so that we can boast. We are passive in a sense. It is God's Spirit working in us and working upon us. And at the beginning, we're not even sure. We don't even realize what is happening to us. The new birth is something that happens to us from an outside agency, the Spirit of God. Jesus likens the mystery of this new birth to the moving of the wind through the world. The Spirit is like the wind. We can't see the wind. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going to. But we see the impact. We see the effect of the wind. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. He's invisible. But when he moves invisibly in our minds and in our hearts, he starts to change things from within. And we see the outward difference he makes. Like Nicodemus, he starts to identify with Jesus, to associate with Jesus, and so do we. We see the fruit of the Spirit beginning to form in Nicodemus, and we will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This lovely fruit of the Spirit begins to display in our lives. But there is mystery here. We do not know where the wind comes from or where it is going to. And Jesus says in verse 8, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The one ultimately in control of the process is God, not us. And we don't like that because we like to be in control. And yet Jesus very clearly says, this is not of us, it is of God. It is from him. He is the one who brings us to birth. And that humbles us. But if we are to see the kingdom of God, it's good to be humble. Humility is a good step. So here's the first thing then. The Holy Spirit, the new birth, the birth from above, the birth anew. It comes from God and from God's Holy Spirit. It is something that happens to us. And then secondly, the new birth is something that not only happens to us, but it's where the dead, that which is dead, is brought to life. The theological word for bringing something that is dead to life is regeneration. Now, we may be physically alive as people, but we can be spiritually dead. We can be as alive can be, and yet our souls, the eternal bit of us, the spiritual bit of us, can be dead to God and dead to the things of God. We can have a deadness towards God, even though we are the fittest people alive. We can do a Joe Wicks workout and still have our breath. We can swim and run and do Pilates classes or yoga classes or dance classes. We can be mentally alert. We can be doing crosswords. We can be reading books. We can even be writing books. We can be physically, mentally, emotionally alert and alive, alive as can be. And yet our souls, our spirits can be dead as dead can be. We can be all these things and yet dead in our souls to God. And in a sense, Nicodemus, even with all the religious activities he was involved with, yes, he had an interest in God, and yet even he needed something more. He needed the Spirit of God in his heart. Jesus says in verse 3, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again or born anew." Jesus says in verse 6, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit." We have an earthy side, our flesh, and we have a spiritual side, our soul. We have the natural side, and we have the supernatural side. This is the way that human beings have been made by God. We have been made both earthly, physical, and supernatural, and spiritual. We are not just physical, mental, and emotional beings. We are spiritual beings with the capacity to relate to God as our Father and Maker. Sadly today, while many of us are alive in our earthy, fleshly nature, many more of us are dead towards God. We're living in days when we are consumed by the earthly and the fleshly. Millions and millions and millions of pounds are spent on our looks and our appearance and our bodies. And yet we neglect the spiritual side of us. The Bible very much downplays the body. Yes, it says our body is important. We are made in the image of God. We are our bodies are sacred. They are to be respected. They have a unique dignity. But actually, when you read through the Bible, it's amazing how little the body is emphasized in terms of our appearance. Sometimes you will read about somebody who was beautiful, or someone who was tall, or someone who was small. But by and large, the Bible spends much more time on people's characters and attitudes and their spirit. We don't even know what Jesus looked like. We don't know what Paul looked like. The Bible doesn't seem that interested. If anything, they were just ordinary-looking people. And yet, there's a lot about the heart, there's a lot about character, there's a lot about attitude. There's a lot about the Spirit changing us from within. So we live in days when universities and schools and so on are teaching evolution. They're playing down the Godward side of us. And that has an impact on society. We need the Spirit of God to blow across our nation. The Spirit of God to blow across our churches and to bring us alive to God. So what is new birth? New birth is something that happens to us. New birth is where that which is dead within us comes alive to God under the influence of the Spirit. And thirdly, and finally, what is new birth? The new birth involves repentance. In verse 5, Jesus says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." Now, theologians have spilt a lot of ink on this, and sometimes they think, well, to be born of water is something different than being born of the Spirit. So perhaps what Jesus meant was to be born of water was the natural birth, and then to be born of the Spirit is the spiritual birth. But I don't think that's what he's suggesting here. Others say when he's talking about water, he's talking about the water of Christian baptism, that we need the water of Christian baptism as well as the water or the baptism of the Spirit. But again, I don't think that's what he's referring to, certainly not at this stage. No, I think what Jesus is referring to is he's wanting us to put those two things together, water and the Spirit, and it's a summary of a key prophecy we have in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. He's not talking about the waters of the womb, about human physical birth. He's not talking about baptism. No, he's talking about this prophecy in Ezekiel. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a soft heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees." I think Jesus is alluding to this passage. And he speaks about the spirit, but he also speaks about the water in the context of repentance. When John the Baptist came and baptized people, he very much emphasized repentance from sin. His was a baptism of preparation, of people saying, "I've done with the old way of living, and let's look forward to the Messiah and the changes that he will bring." I think this phrase, being born from above, being born of water and spirit, is really the one thing. Jesus knows that there's an element of repentance whenever the Spirit moves in our hearts. And this is what Ezekiel was speaking about. When the Spirit comes, there is the water of cleansing, there is the water of repentance. With a new heart comes a new cleansing. As the Spirit shows us the deadness in our souls, and that either we have been worshiping wrong things, or we have been making good things into God things, or indeed, maybe like Nicodemus, we've been trying to earn our way into the kingdom through our good deeds. We need to repent. We need to relinquish control. We need to see that there's sin in our lives. There is much wrong, and to repent of that. We come to an end of ourselves as the Spirit brings us alive. So a little note here on the children of believers. Those who have perhaps been baptized as infants, those who have grown up within church, and all the time they have known nothing but Jesus Christ, and they have sought to worship him and follow him and believe in him. Where does the new birth come as far as they are concerned? Well, they still have to be born again. The new birth still has to apply. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, describes children who have a believing parent or parents as being holy or set apart. In other words, as far as Paul was concerned, children were part of the visible church. If their parents were believers, then children entered into the visible church. So a baptized child visibly is part of the church. John Frame talks about the child having the inclination to love righteousness and to hate wickedness. And when he or she comes of age, he or she will have the inner disposition to receive with joy the teaching of the word and receive Jesus Christ. In other words, they're coming under the influence of the Spirit from an early age. The process of coming to new birth takes time, but it is still the work of the Holy Spirit. It is still the gift of God. If you like, those children have been in a windy place under the influence of the Holy Spirit all through their young years. And then they come to the point where they acknowledge that they still have to repent of sin. They are born of water and the Spirit. There comes that point where they invite Jesus Christ into their lives and they own him as their very own. The baptism is a sign and seal of God's promise and pledge of his goodness. And it comes to reality, it comes to fruition as they confess with their own mouths. But this is still the influence, the work of new birth by the Holy Spirit. So what is the new birth? It's something that happens to us as God's Spirit works upon us. He brings us to birth. It is something where that which is dead in us, our souls, dead to God, are brought to life. And it invariably involves the cleansing of repentance. We repent of all the things we have relied on to save us. And we come to trust in Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us in the cross. Will you do that today, just as Nicodemus had to do it? and discover the truth of that verse we began with. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Shall we pray? And we invite you, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, bring that which is dead to you and make it alive in Jesus Christ. Help us to see, maybe for the first time, that Jesus Christ has died for me, and we entrust our lives to him. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring new birth today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.